coming to you from the Radio for One studios in Franklin, Michigan. Welcome to the Detroit Cast.
Big fan.
Big fan.
A show not just free of charge, but free of FCC regulations.
Thank you for your support of the Detroit Cast.
Oh, there it is.
And without further delay, it's showtime. Please welcome the Detroit Cast. Here are your hosts, Mike and Jay.
Well, good day, everybody. Welcome to the Detroit Cast. Mike and Jay. Shalom, Big E. Jay, how are you, my friend?
Perfect. Thank you for having me, sir.
Absolutely. Exciting day for us.
Oh, yeah.
Got Noel Monk coming up in a little bit here. The long-time manager for Van Halen, at least all the Roth years. I'll be talking to him about his book, Running with the Devil. Looking forward to that. What else is going on? I'm thinking about going to that DCFC game tonight.
You should.
Yeah.
Playing an Italian side, I believe.
Really?
A friendly?
Yeah, exactly.
They've got the They've got the teams into Comerica, right? To play the big game in Comerica.
Right.
And then I think there's a second division Italian team that sort of tagged along with that trip.
Yes.
Hooked up with DCFC to play a friendly.
Yeah.
You should go.
DCFC will not be favored in this one.
No.
But it'll be cool to see. I can't remember what the Italians team name is, Venezia or something.
I don't recall either.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, don't expect a win by the City Boys.
Yeah, it'll be good to see, like, gauge to see where they are with that level of competition. What would you expect? Like, would you be happy with a...
Be very happy with a 2-0 loss.
Yeah.
2-0?
Okay. We'll take that as a win.
Yeah.
So spot us two, and we're good. Yeah. So if you're going out there, look for me. I think I'm going to head out there with Beth. So I do... You guys aired grievances yesterday.
Oh, you have one?
I think I do, man. And I should probably air it before I...
clock is ticking, sir.
Before I forget it.
No, the clock is not ticking.
This is against people when I'm getting ready to turn right at a light and the asshole that strolls his way across the street taking forever...
Bonafide
to get across the street. Who is that guy? And I'm not talking about moms with strollers or an old person, but a 20-year-old that's just gonna like, and you're like, dude,
it's the lack of urgency by the pedestrian.
Yes.
It's something that has killed me. I can't believe I haven't brought that up as a grievance in the past. That is something I bitch about more on a daily basis than anything else.
Yeah.
Gab and I both will be sitting in the car. Oh, yeah, take your time.
Take your time. No hurry.
Weren't you taught as a kid when you're crossing a road or crossing in front of a car, you hustle?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of the way, man.
Dude, I don't understand it. It happened to me yesterday. I was out and I'm stuck at a light and it's one of those long roads, like four lanes with a middle one. So it's like five lanes. So it's wide. And there's a lady with a kid on my side. And then there's fucking... take your time guy on the other side. And so I've obviously got to let the kid and the mom go. And so they take a little bit. And now I'm in that spot where it's like, if I go, I'm kind of cutting this guy off. You know what? I'll be respectful and let him come across the street. And he's just like, he's staring at me the whole time. And he's just like taking his sweet ass. I'm like,
it's like this weird power play.
Yeah. It's like, dude, you know I could just run you over.
And
right
I've
now,
noticed
right?
it more and more in the last decade. I think it is a power play by people.
Oh,
like, yeah, you'll wait for me, motherfucker.
Yeah,
it can be at Kroger, it can be wherever.
Yes, yes.
But you're exactly right on the main roads. That really kills me. Like I'm like I don't trust people on the road. You know, when I'm crossing the main road, I'm, you know, with great dispatch getting across.
Even if you fake it, like you do that kind of slow, like that. I'm going kind of
really,
slow.
You're really
jog.
Not speeding up, but you're
at least acknowledging. Like I understand, I'm holding everybody up right now, but it's me and like 10 cars in a row behind me, all waiting to turn right and make this light. And it's like, all right, shithead, take your time.
Yeah,
take your time.
You ever done that? Ugh. You ever done that fast hustle and have it occur to you like I really didn't save any time on that?
Yeah, yeah.
Just move your arms a little faster and kind of.
It's all about appearances.
Jog a little higher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're good.
You save maybe a quarter second.
You know, if you're not on crutches or over 60, you know, and it seems to happen more, too, more often than not.
Yeah.
I'm with you, man. I just don't understand that because I always am like, I'm aware of my surroundings. I'm aware of the other people that are being held up by me right now.
It's kind of dovetails from my prior grievance of spatial awareness, the lack of spatial awareness with people.
Yeah.
And I think it's just overall, people don't give a fuck about each other.
I would totally agree with that.
Yeah.
And it was kind of this like expressionless face, like just staring at me like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And I'm not even going to give any hint that I'm trying to hurry at all for you. It's like, dude,
what's my man got going on in his life? Nothing.
Who knows?
That becomes a power play. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Yeah. This is the one moment of the day he's got a little bit of power.
Yeah.
You know, other people dick. Need to halt to him. And he's going to wield it. Whatever,
Jesus,
man.
Bona fide yeah. pussy old man.
Yeah, I mean, you guys said it all. Yeah, bona fide for sure.
Well done, Mike.
You Thank
strong
you.
Strong with a grievance.
Thank you. I almost killed a kid, by the way, about 2 weeks ago on the road.
You're kidding.
Yeah. No, I'm not kidding. It was one of those where I was stopped at a light, and there's a van to my right. And so I can't really see the sidewalk, you know, that's going yeah. off to my right. And so my light turns green, and I just start going. And this fucking kid just starts pedaling across in front of the van. I hit the gas and literally like locked him up. Was like, dude. And then
oh Lord, Lord, Jesus. Oh Lord, oh Jesus.
Like some people just have a death wish. Like, dude.
Yeah, that's not smart.
People not paying attention, man. Drives me nuts. Anyways, other stuff to get to today. Kid Rock making a little news.
Yeah?
More
on the Senate front?
Yes. And I can't figure out what he's doing. I can't figure out if he's being totally serious about this Senate run. Because he's like tying it to his tour mm-hmm. and a new album. And it's, you know, it's about merchandising and promotion.
It's like his version of a search committee? Because that's what politicians will do, is they'll have sort of a search committee and
yeah.
do some early polling, see how people feel about him.
Maybe. But he's acting like this is totally real.
Yeah.
He's saying that, but I'm like, why would you? Okay, you know, you obviously know what you're doing. I don't. But he posted, and they're like, well, we've gotten some hint of his initial platform. And I'm like, this is more of just a statement. I don't really think this is a platform. But he posted, I believe if you work your butt off and pay taxes, you should be able to easily understand and navigate the laws, tax codes, healthcare, and anything else the government puts in place that affects us all. So
he's going to make the laws clear.
No offense. What does that mean, Mr.? I mean, I know what it means, but what he's just saying the most generic thing, like, oh, if you work your butt off and pay your taxes, you should just, be able to understand laws.
Yeah, we should make it easy for you to understand these laws. But
I don't necessarily.
Again, that's a great state. It's very Trump-esque. It's saying something without giving you, like,
well, if anybody
knows
what
I planned.
Anything about the legislative process, too, it's just making sausage. People are stapling shit that was stapled to something else, and
yeah.
everybody's got to agree to the thing. I mean, we're seeing that healthcare bill fall apart because everybody can't agree that their little portion that they support isn't in there or needs to be
yeah.
less or more. And it's just a big sausage that ends up looking like shit by the end
yeah.
and not the plain language law that kid would like it to be.
That you'd all hope for. Anyway, it'll be interesting if he runs, because I went to his website. Part of this announcement was tied to the fact that he dropped two new videos,
mm-hmm.
Which are worth a watch, definitely. Podunk, which is as white trash fucking
yeah.
America's. I mean, like down south hillbilly, you know, picking up roadkill to cook for dinner. As you know, like that group.
It's an apt title.
Yes. And then there's a new video called Greatest Show on Earth, which is kick-ass, especially if you're from around here, because it's just like concert footage going back to like the State Theater all the way through Comerica Park.
Oh, nice.
Like all those tours in Detroit, and it's upbeat, and it's, I mean, it's a really cool video look, and you know, at shows in Detroit and stuff, which is very cool. And that's in promotion, you know, and then it's like coming 2018, his new show or whatever.
Cool.
Yeah. So, but he claims it's going to happen, that is, he's totally.
Well, if he's going to run as a Republican, I guarantee there's some serious talks going on behind the scenes going, honestly, like, this is a really strong candidate in Bob Young. Like,
yeah.
You sure you're going to do this? And how is that going to work out? I'm not saying he's going to, like, get in line with the politicians, but there does need to be some talk and plan about how that's going to go forward, because
yeah,
Bob's strong.
Well,
Young,
yeah, it's the judge, right?
Yeah,
this may be it, dude. This should have came up with Trump, and so maybe it is a dumb question, but like, can Can anyone just run as a Republican? Can he just run as a Republican? He doesn't need them to say it's okay, right? I mean,
he won't be able to have any sort of backing from them,
right? But he's got money, so
yeah, he could run as an independent and possibly win.
Okay,
yeah,
but he would run as an independent, saying he's a he can't run technically as a Republican, though.
Right. The Republicans would only be able to put up one person comes out of their primary.
Okay, so you'd just be a conservative independent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fiscally conservative, socially liberal, I think is the way he describes himself, which I think a lot of people fall into that category.
Sounds like maybe an independent.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it would serve somebody like him well, honestly, to be an independent and separate yourself from the two shit parties.
Yeah. I wonder if he could win on name alone, though, if his name carries enough weight in Michigan.
Dude, Stabenow has a lot of support, you know, as the incumbent.
Yeah,
as the Dem, and then Bob Young, as I said, man, he's going to be a strong challenger. Yeah. And then him, that'd be an interesting race.
Yeah,
really would.
Well, he does have 15 days from the time he announces, like he's thinking about it, to register.
Yeah,
And he still hasn't done that, so he's got a few days left, but you know, nothing's officially been registered from him yet as of this point. So anyway, we'll follow it as we go.
Hey, y'all, check out the Detroit Cast listener business page. It's a page under the Help the Show tab on our website, DetroitCast.com. If you haven't been to our website, check it out, DetroitCast.com. And this page, this listener business page, includes businesses that are owned by listeners. So take a look. It'd be great to support the supporters of the show. And today's featured listings are DRKM Strategies. They specialize in helping independent small businesses grow by using proven internet marketing methods. They entice new customers to find you online. And also our buddies over at Old Time Photo in Frankenmuth, the most fun in Frankenmuth. Reserve your appointment online today. Use promo code TDCJ. Make sure if you go in, you tell them TDC sent you. They also have travel for weddings and special events.
Excellent. Go check out that business page. There's a lot of good businesses on there, and help each other out. They're all fellow listeners. Have you followed the story of the Cowboys receiver Lucky Whitehead?
Yeah, dude.
And his dog. His dog, yeah. Blitz.
That poor little Poops. He's just an innocent Poops.
Yeah, he's a kind of a baby. What is it? Pit bull.
Yeah,
I think he's young, like 6 months old or something. And so everything's fine. He's made it home safely now.
Blitz, I didn't hear that. Okay.
Yeah, that was good. The update this morning that Blitz is now home with Lucky Whitehead, a Cowboys receiver. And but it's a crazy story. Like, he's out of town and he's got like a really close friend watching the dog. While he's gone, someone breaks into his house, steals the dog, and then starts blowing his phone up.
Ransom.
There is the guy that had the dog is a rapper in the Dallas area who goes by the name Bugatti Casino.
Bag up.
Now, young Bugatti has a different story about this, claiming he didn't steal anyone's dog, that he bought it from someone else, and that the ransom this guy's claiming is that, dude, I just wanted to get my money back that I paid for this damn dog.
You know what's awesome is his real name may actually be Bugatti.
Yeah.
Like, that could be his given name on his birth certificate. That's Bugatti badass.
Casino with a K.
Yeah.
Those are both badass names.
Fuck yes.
You want to hear a little bit from Bugatti?
Sure.
The rapper, I think you'll enjoy him.
Which part did you want? So you wanted these ones, right?
Yeah, those two that you showed me, E.
Start with this one, I guess.
Here we go. Here's young Bugatti explaining himself.
We ain't stole no motherfucking dog, nigga. Hey, you talking about, nigga? His ex-bitch bought that motherfucking dog, nigga. Hey, you talking about, nigga? Over here to us, nigga, and we cashed out for that hoe, nigga. We not knowing it's that nigga dog, nigga. I don't follow that nigga, nigga. Hey, you talking about, nigga? Find out it was his dog, nigga. Yeah. So I let that nigga know. Say, bro, you looking for your dog? They say you looking for your dog, nigga. I want my money back, nigga. Just give me my money. I paid for the dog. You can get your dog back, bro. It's simple, bro. Nigga ain't stole nobody dog, bro. You know a nigga ain't stole your dog, bro. Now you finna put your business in the streets, bro. On some whole other level type shit, bro. You know a nigga ain't stole no dog,
bro. Put that
you making
shit in the street.
Seem like all that extra shit. I don't give a damn about that shit. I don't know, but you know, nigga, she had that dog, nigga, or whatever, nigga. She bought that dog over here, nigga, and we bought that motherfucking nigga. And all I'm asking for is our money back, nigga. And you can have that dog, nigga. Stop trying to make it seem like a nigga stealing dogs. Fuck, I look like stealing a goddamn dog, bro. Come on, bro. Y'all people crazy as hell, bro.
Yeah.
Understand?
You people are crazy as hell.
What is he axing for?
He's axing for $20,000. I can't imagine he paid 20 grand for a pit bull.
Standard pit bull.
Yeah.
If I understood Mr. Bugatti,
yeah.
It seems that he's out on the thoroughfare as we speak. It sounds like the Dallas Cowboys receiver's girlfriend took took the dog, the dog,
the dog,
the dog.
Yeah,
and sold it.
Yes.
Okay.
That I think you've got that right.
Any truth to that, Mike? That changes the whole story.
I agree. I agree. It does. It makes sense though that they would have his number too, because if you just broke in and stole someone's dog, I don't know that you'd have their cell phone number to start asking for ransom. Do we have a little bit from his buddy too, E? I think
this may shed some light on
mean,
this.
You mean the one I showed? Which one are you referring to?
The first one you pulled up and almost played.
Yeah, let's shed some more light on this.
Say, man, nigga ain't took no dog, bro. Fuck is you talking about, nigga? His ex bitch brought a nigga the dog. Yeah. Hey, you talking about, nigga? I ain't stole no motherfucking dog, nigga. Stop playing with me, nigga. Fuck, you talking about? He know what's going on. Shut the ass, that bitch.
They're golden diamond watches.
That's what I'm saying, nigga. If I pay my motherfucking money for the dog, I don't want his dog, nigga. I figured out who dog it was. I'm telling him to get my motherfucking money back for the dog, nigga. I don't want that motherfucking dog, nigga. Well, I ain't stole no goddamn dog. How stupid y'all think that? Y'all think I'ma steal a motherfucking dog and post it?
Dumb
nigga,
ass.
Stop pleading, dumb nigga. Ass. I never one time said I stole no dog. Yeah. Fuck you talking about, nigga. Yeah. I ain't stole no motherfucking dog, nigga.
He can't fuck that white bitch good enough.
Yo, my mama, nigga. Yeah. Mean, nigga. I ain't stole no motherfucking dog.
How's that dog, nigga?
Fuck you talking about. Yeah. You know goddamn where that white hoe brought you that dog, nigga.
Dude, they're outside at a gas station. Imagine walking at the gas station right there.
Well, case closed.
That one moment was classic when he stopped. Unfortunately, with Instagram, you can't like go to specific moments, but when he comes,
you ain't fucked that white bitch good enough. Yeah.
So apparently, if we've got all the details correct now, Lucky Whitehead was not able to satisfy the white bitch good enough.
Okay.
And so
she took the dog.
She broke up with him, waited for him to go out of town, broke into his house, and took the dog, and now sells the dog to these fine gentlemen, obviously giving the dog a nice house. And when it goes public that his dog has been stolen, these guys are axing for $20,000, but it ain't a ransom because they ain't steal no dog. They bought it fair and square from the white bitch that he ain't fuck good enough.
Case closed.
Yeah, case closed. There was a happy reunion though, and
good.
And you know, well, you know, these guys are upstanding gentlemen, fine gentlemen. They saw a wrong and righted it, and they're willing to take the hit on the lost money too.
Oh man, shit!
That story.
Shit.
That story was way better than just a missing dog, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Excuse me, missing dog.
Oh Lord, Lord, Jesus! Oh Lord, oh Jesus!
Imagine that scene in the parking lot of a gas station. They're like holding it up, and there's like four guys just like flashing watches and rings.
That's what cracked me up. In goes the watch right in front of his face.
Make sure everybody sees this motherfucking watch and
bling,
shit.
Bling.
Oh, and yeah. People walk in there and just be like, what are these guys
fucking
doing?
Awesome.
You're right. It's a gas station, and it's a rapper, I guess. I never heard of him.
I can see that guy rapping.
No, I can see it too. It. I'm not saying I'm not saying
he's
anything about
the part,
it, but
that's
he,
for sure.
Right.
Hey, we've all heard that SUVs are the hottest selling vehicles on the planet. As luck would have it, our friends at Zot, Ford, and Holly happen to be Metro Detroit's SUV headquarters with massive inventories and wickedly low prices. For example, lease the class-leading 17 Ford Escape for just $122 a month, or lease a family fun 17 Ford Edge at only $188 a month. Finally, lease the incredibly capable 17 Ford Explorer for $222 a month, only at Zot Ford and dealsinthed.com.
Just that pause frame. Like he's going on about this, and his buddy has to throw this watch in the screen.
Classic. Oh, that's just awesome. Well, we're all happy that Blitz is home. And
yeah, that's what's important.
Lucky. Hey, remember the kid we were talking about the other day, Cosmo DiNardo?
Absolutely, the guy, the murderer from Pennsylvania.
What did he do? He took the bodies and put them in like a pig roaster,
right?
And then buried that thing like 12 and a half feet underground. Well, he's admitted to a couple other murders as well.
Oh no!
Now, you probably don't have any idea, but they gave him part of the deal for him to confess was that they wouldn't give him the death penalty. They would spare him the death penalty. So that was the deal, and now he's admitted to two more murders.
I don't know
like
if that would also encompass that.
Do those count too? I don't know. Anyway, he's already confessed to luring Dean, Tom, Jimmy, and Mark, his four friends, I guess, acquaintances. But he now claims he's just 20 years old. That's quite a hit list. If he's got six murders under his belt at the age of 20, he says he carried them out 5 years ago in Philadelphia when he was just 15 years old. Sources said they were looking into whether his claims match any open cases. People close to the murderer said that when he was around 15, the age when he apparently committed these other murders is when he went crazy. He randomly punched a couple people at a mall for looking at his girlfriend. He'd been talking about killing people since he was 14. Others said he harassed girls in high school, repeatedly texting them to invite him to his house for pool parties, which no one ever attended. They feared he would retaliate if they didn't go to these parties. So they were just like unfriending him and just trying to quietly back away. In Facebook messages, he bombarded women with requests just for sex. just a lousy,
throwing out a line.
Just a lousy way to go. Does that ever pay off?
Tinder, man. Can you just jump on, or in his case, Grindr?
Yeah, but was this five? If this was 5 years ago, you know, was Tinder around five years ago?
I don't think so.
Yeah, right in the inception, if it was.
Friend said while he always behaved differently, his behavior became more violent. I guess he had a nasty like four-wheeler accident. He was by himself, like on his parents' property or whatever, and busted a bunch of ribs, and he became really violent after that. He was alone, suffered several broken bones and a head injury as well. And since then, he's been even worse.
Like, oh, man.
Off the radar. So
plunked in the head. No, yeah. Think about how that probably played out. His lawyer probably went to the prosecutors and said, you know, he's got some more to tell. Does the same agreement hold? And they're probably
yeah,
let's close up whatever we can.
I would think that he would have good attorneys too. I mean, his dad was like right there to bail him out, put up the cash. He's really rich.
Yeah.
So I would imagine he wouldn't just let this kid hang out there without attorneys or, you know, someone telling him what's up. But yeah. What a shame, man. I don't know if there are a couple bodies out there somewhere that he could identify or locate, that I guess that's good news. But Megyn Kelly was back last Sunday.
Really? You haven't heard her name in a long time, actually.
Well, we had the 4th of July, and then didn't she not do a show before that or something? I think she was off for a couple weeks, whatever, but she's hit a new ratings low.
Oh, man.
is that possible from what it sounds like? I mean,
it's not good.
She was losing to America's Funniest reruns. Home Video reruns
and 60
Minutes reruns.
Yes. She lost to both of them just by a wider margin this time. But yeah, she's decreased her total viewers. Sunday Night with Megyn Kelly pulled in 3.1 million viewers. Her most recent episode, she did the Trump story. One of the reporters did the Trump thing, you know, okay. Russia, Don Jr. thing, which is like, okay, every news organization in the world is doing that story. You don't really need to.
Yeah, your point is these Sunday news magazines, they have to bring something new.
Yeah. Like
something that you can't just get every evening on cable news, but they dig deeper. They dig into a story you hadn't even heard about. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, this, you know, cartel issue that, yeah, you know about cartels, but boy, you never knew that this was going on.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like she's doing that. She's just grabbing, like, the headline of the week and expounding on it.
And it sounds and looks cheap, too. It's like, okay, good reporters, whatever, but you know, that's what makes 60 Minutes so watchable, is because odds are you haven't heard any of this stuff. The other part that she did that was actually her segment was about sexual harassment in Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. And so they had a bunch of women who were, you know, entrepreneurs or whatever, and talking about like being sexually harassed in Silicon Valley. And so, you know, those were the two big stories she did. Yeah, so she lost to Funniest Home Videos again and 60 Minutes. The show had 500,000 less viewers and had a lower share in the key demo that they're looking for, that 18-34, than a rerun of Dateline that aired in the time slot. So the week she was off for the 4th, they threw in a Dateline there.
Okay.
And Megyn Kelly's show, new this time, got 500,000 less viewers than that rerun over the 4th.
Damning.
Oh, that's just not good.
God, can you imagine behind the scenes right now? I mean, it is.
They
got to
stop
like,
it, right? They got to pull the plug?
I don't know what they do. They claim they're in for the long haul.
Fire a woman? You know what I mean? Like, can you do that?
I think you can fire a woman, but they
certainly
put
with that data.
They put, and they announced that her like morning show is starting soon or something too. Like, remember she was supposed to, there was like a three-part.
Oh, right.
Like, she was going to have this primetime.
All supposed to dovetail together, and it was supposed to be like, oh, Megyn Kelly is the stalwart of NBC now.
Yes, it's our new Tom Brokaw. It's the one that you build the whole station around, and it's like, ugh. And I don't know, man. I just don't see, like, if you don't have that spark that grabs people right away, I don't know that you get it later on down the road.
It doesn't develop, does it?
I don't think so. With all the promotion behind it, what did they pay her? $150 million or something?
Sounds right.
$120 million?
I mean, there was not only their own promotion, but the story of just her leaving. And all, I mean, there was a lot. Like, it had everything, right? I mean, it was hyped up as hyped up could be.
Mm-hmm. It was everywhere. I mean, they had months off. Remember? It was just
to
like...
build up the whole interviews and the whatever.
She was getting press from, like, the topics. Oh, Vlad Putin. And then the... who was the other one? Alex Jones.
Right.
Alex Jones. You know, that was being kicked around the news like crazy leading up to those episodes.
And so people still just didn't watch, even though they...
People were still just like, eh, whatever. It's a crazy story. You see Walking Dead is back filming again. They had to take the last few days off.
They have a couple people die, like a voiceover guy and then a stuntman or something.
Yeah, yeah, I did hear that about the voiceover guy. I don't know what that means, a voiceover guy on The Walking Dead, but yeah, apparently he died. But this was one of the stuntmen. I guess he fell like 25 feet hair first into cement. Not good. Just missed the pad, too. They had that big fluffy pad you're supposed to land on, missed it by inches.
So they were shooting Walking Dead or a different
They were shooting Walking Dead. And that's got to be tough for the actor. One of the guys, Austin Emilio, I understand you guys won't know the name, but he plays one of Negan's henchmen, Dwight. He's got, for people that watch the show, he's the guy that his face was burned with an iron. And he was like...
Got a big iron mark on his face?
Yeah.
Come on.
Took it out of the out of this fire and just like...
It's like a cartoon or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's nasty. That would suck to get that makeup put on every day, like to match that all up and get it right. I guess he was doing a stunt with him, and then it's like he goes over and
hair first.
Yeah,
I think the guy first. That is that who he's doing the stunt for that he died.
I don't know. He could have been playing like a walker that this guy's fighting off.
Because I was wondering if it's a main actor. Are you like, man? If only I did
my own stunts.
You know, this guy just will be alive.
Yeah. So anyway, they did the whole airlift him to a hospital in Atlanta. They film in Georgia. And then his family and stuff came there. They had him on life support, and they decided to pull the plug after he donated his organs. So,
it's too bad.
Yeah. Anyway, you ready to talk about
little
Van Halen,
Running
Jay?
With the Devil?
Yeah. We both enjoyed this book a lot.
Yeah,
I really did. One of the stories in here is about what was it? Beat It.
Yeah,
Eddie
Van Halen's involvement with the song Beat It, Michael Jackson's hit, Beat It. We all know it, one of the most iconic songs of all time.
I don't know what Michael Jackson's biggest song is, but Beat It's got to be right up there in his top five, right?
Yes, for sure.
And Thriller, it's on the Thriller album, and it's the most, I think it's the most sold album of all time. And numbers vary between 65 million copies of that one album sold to 120 million. And Eddie was like, denied taking a point of credit on it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how much that would be worth, but that's got to be worth a fortune.
Yeah, he was asked to do the guitar solo and Beat It, and he immediately was like, yeah, absolutely. And Noel Monk, the guy we're going to talk to about this book that he wrote, recounts how he met with Eddie probably four times. Like, he wasn't part of like the deal, the negotiation. There was no negotiation. Eddie was just like, I'll do it. He was like, dude, you got to get some points on this. Like, Michael's not working for free. He's like, I love Michael. He's like, everybody loves Michael, but get some points on this. This is going to be big.
Take your 1 point credit and
even
then
a half
get
a
paid.
Point. He's like, I don't need anything.
Yeah.
Edward.
Edward, what are you thinking, sir? And then he lays down that amazing guitar solo, and I think he helped structure that song. There was more that he did on that song than people realize, and nothing, zero.
Just helping out a friend.
Yeah. Anyways, I believe it's time to call Noel Monk.
Hello.
Hey, is this Noel Monk?
I think so.
Hey, Noel.
Hey, buddy. It's Mike and Jay from the Detroit Cast. How are you?
How you doing? Good. I got a little bit of a sore throat. Besides from that, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, you got
sound
a little...
like one of the mob right now.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit
of a cold. That's okay. You sound fine. Is this your home number we're calling yet, Noel?
No one uses home numbers. It's my cell.
Oh, it's your cell. Is it just coincidence that the phone number ends the way it ends?
You betcha. Isn't that weird?
That's extremely weird.
We won't say what it is.
Yeah, we won't say what it is, but I'm sure Van Halen fans can figure out what form.
Oh, I don't care.
All right. It ends in 5150, which seems a little too coincidental, Noel.
I did. How could you? You don't ask for phone numbers.
All right. I'll give you benefit of the doubt. Anyway, we've really enjoyed your book, Running with the Devil, A Backstage Pass to the Wild Times, Loud Rock, and Down and Dirty Truth Behind the Making of Van Halen by you, sir, as their first manager. How's the book doing?
It seems to be doing real well. Frankly, if it, you guys have been great doing the interviews.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Without you, the book wouldn't be getting out there. And it seems to be getting out there.
Well, you're welcome, Noel.
A lot of people.
You can cut us into.
No, I really appreciate it.
We can talk points later. That's fine.
Yeah, right. Well, for those that don't know, Noel Monk, who we're talking to here, was Van Halen's manager from 1978 through 1985. That's quite an impressive stretch for Van Halen fans.
Yeah. The one thing I want to get to, guys, is that I'd like a little more of the sense of humor of the book. You know, people take it and, you know, there are some, like, weird things and tough things that went on, but we had a really good time.
Well,
I mean, I don't want to get that lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, I think that definitely comes through in the book.
Yeah.
No question about it. The whole time, you know, while you definitely do dish some dirt on things and give details, it's not in a mean-spirited way, but you give details of what you observe, but the whole time you're going, hey, this is a hell of a lot of fun, and I was really glad to be along for the ride. Mm-hmm. So that comes through.
I mean, just putting fish in Peter's bed was so much fun.
Well, you were not Van Halen's first manager. That was a guy, and it doesn't sound like you liked him very much. What was his name, Marshall Burl?
Yeah, I loved him. Are you kidding? No, I had a few issues with him.
Yeah, he sounds kind of out of touch. Maybe wasn't there as much as a manager needed to be, and kind of creepy too. Wasn't he the guy that was filming those guys, like when they were getting it on with groupies and stuff?
Yeah, what was up with that? This is their business manager making a videotape compilation of them banging groupies.
Unbelievable.
And where?
I mean, we almost. I mean, I didn't happen to be in them, but I've never seen anything like that. And frankly, if I had a band as good as that, I'd glue myself to them. I hardly ever saw them.
Yeah, well, that seems odd that the manager wouldn't be around, but you were their tour manager at the time. How did you become the official manager of Van Halen?
Well, the first year, basically, we were on the road 8-9 months, and I was on every date, and my, what I did with young acts, would I try and teach them about the business, you know, so they wouldn't get as killed as they were getting killed. And we spent a lot of time in my room talking about what the business entails, what recoupment is. And we got along really well, and they realized that I was fairly savvy. I had never managed a band before, but I had also been in the business 25 years. And I guess anyone that for Southern Comfort for Janis Joplin has certain credibility.
But, sure.
By the time those videos got out and a bunch of other things, which I delineate in the book, they wanted out. And I did say to them, and it's in the book, before you take me on, I want you to go to every big manager and check them out. I don't want you to make a mistake with me.
Yeah.
And they did. And we were together for 7 years.
Yeah, it's amazing. Are you? It sounds like there was a lot of partying going on. Are you still partying nowadays, Noel?
Not quite as much.
But a little bit. A
little bit here and there, though?
We do the wheelchair shuffle. No.
You sound a little buzzed up right now. I don't know if it's your cold or what, but you sound like you're in
no,
good spirits.
I got a real bad I don't do drugs anymore. I don't even drink anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I'll drink occasionally, yeah, but
today, an hour ago.
You know.
Yeah.
But that's the way I normally sound, a little buzzed out.
There you go.
Nothing wrong with that.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Anyway, one of the other interesting things we learned in your book was that the famous Van Halen, that VH logo.
Oh, it's a ripoff, man.
I had no idea that wasn't original until your book, Noel.
Yeah. There's a couple things in there that even surprised me.
Yeah.
And that was one of them. I opened that up after we left. Well, actually, it was a year afterwards, and it was in a box when we had come from the manager's office. And I undid it, and let me tell you, I was shocked. I mean, it was like, no, there's got to be a mistake here. But it was in his office before the logo was made.
Yeah, it's undeniable.
Yeah,
he ganked it.
It's Jimi Hendrix's, like an old Jimi Hendrix logo.
The J and the H.
And it shapes the form of that famous Van Halen logo identically.
With like the metallic look and the...
Yeah, like the wings on it. Yeah. Everyone knows it.
Hey, Noel, is this a decent time in the interview to give mad props to your co-writer, Joe Layden? I think Joe did a hell of a job, didn't he?
No, he didn't do a hell of a job. He did a brilliant job.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
I mean, my first book was good. I'm not a bad writer. My co-author was okay. But Joe came along and took my writing and made it into butter. He is brilliant.
Yeah.
Without Joe, that book would not have been nearly as good.
No way.
I give him so much, and we got a...
It doesn't even exist
without him. We spent over a year together and never had one argument.
Is that right?
Yeah. I'm always interested in what a band is like, Noel, when they're really young. When you first meet Van Halen, and they're just dying to get noticed. Were they a cool, young, like just party band? Were they professional? Were they obnoxious? What were they like early on?
They were a party band, but they wanted to make it. David desperately wanted to make it more than any of them. He wanted to be a superstar. They also, in the beginning, were a nice bunch of young guys. Easygoing, you know, they weren't overly liquefied, shall we put it.
Sure,
right.
I mean, that first year was just fun on wheels. The first 2-3 years was a lot of fun.
Well, they definitely had signed, like most young bands, a really shitty first deal. And with Warner Brothers,
you can say that.
But how did you get him out of it, Noel? Because you had to go through some pretty crazy steps to get Van Halen out of their original deal, which paid them really nothing and tied them to Warner Brothers into perpetuity, basically.
And did they ever recognize you for that? It seems like they just kind of like, oh yeah, cool, we're out of that.
No, they didn't. But they were making about 75 cents an album, and we couldn't live on that. That's way less than a dollar an album. And when I took over, I realized I knew I had to break that. And I've seen other acts try and break their record company deals, and they end up on the shelf. So I figured out that we had two records, and they had options after every two records. And we did the second record. And I'm thinking, you know, I know this company very, very well. And I call it throwing sand in their eyes. They have what they call a tickler file, which shows you when their options are coming up. And I told the guys and the lawyer and the accountant, ask them for everything. Ask them for accounting. I tried to get as much money as I could for promotion, for the video, and all of a sudden, they forgot to pick up the option, like I hoped.
Yeah, you changed the subject.
Yeah.
Well done, Noel.
And we went to $1.35, made them millions, and I mean millions.
Well done, sir.
Yeah.
$30 to $60 million and counting.
Well, moreover, you got them into the merchandising aspect of things. Like back then, well, I guess it was kind of uncommon to handle that on your own, and you had the bright idea.
They were lazy. Managers are lazy.
Yeah.
They hired Del Ferrano and my buddy Bill Graham.
Sure.
And they get 25%. I came from the garment business. I knew garments. And I said, guys, we can do it ourselves. They said, what do you know about T-shirts? I said, well, I know a lot about little girls' dresses. That's what my father sold. And we didn't get 25%. We were making 50% on the dollar.
And they
that
didn't...
all went away when I went away. But
how is that possible, Noel? Why wouldn't you have that into perpetuity, that you came up with these deals? And because I think you got cut out of all your percentage points from their albums and from merch once you weren't with them anymore.
Because he only had a 30-day contract with them, right?
I had a 30-day contract.
That's bullshit.
They promised me in 6 months they'd give me a better contract, a 7-year contract. It didn't happen. After 2 years, I asked for it again. Didn't happen.
So you couldn't, why couldn't you figure out how to get more percentage points out of these guys? Half the time they were wasted. You'd figure you could take advantage of them and just go, oh yeah, don't you remember we signed a 7-year, 7-album deal last week, guys?
Yeah, they were pretty greedy and they saw a way of doing exactly what they did. I got hurt pretty good with that one.
What was it like being around Eddie Van Halen? You know, I imagine he was constantly noodling with his guitar and playing. I mean, I just can't imagine sitting in a room with Eddie Van Halen as he just noodles on the guitar. How cool that would be.
Well, he used to sit in his room talking. He always, what he called, noodling.
Right.
He'd noodle on his guitar. He never didn't have a guitar in his hand up until about 83, 84. But I loved him. We got along really well. If it wasn't for his big brother who, you got to understand, think about it. You're 2 years older. Your baby brother is a genius and is recognized by everybody. And you're a good drummer. I don't take that away from Al.
Too much cymbal.
He was a good
Always too
drummer.
Much cymbal.
Yeah, Jay, huh? Jay thinks he had too much cymbal.
So heavy on the cymbal. I guess it's, you know,
well,
it's
whatever.
Their signature
he
sound.
He was not Buddy Rich, let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then that started eating away at Al. And Al had a propensity to drink, and I've never seen anyone drink like him.
Nobody?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. But the point being... You know, I don't think he could take it that he was like, if he wasn't named Van Halen, he would have gone down like Michael.
Yeah.
The only reason he's still around is he's Ed's brother.
Talk about what they did to Michael. That was bullshit. Everything you hear about Michael Anthony is that he's just a stand-up, really good guy, and they really seem to screw him over.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to go over that again. I mean, you read the book, you will find out what happened.
Okay, teaser.
Yeah. It's kind of rough to go over that. They took him for $10 or $15 million.
Yeah, basically, they decided that Michael Anthony, since he didn't write the music or the lyrics, that he wasn't an equal member. At the time, all five of you guys, including you, Noel Monk, were getting 20% of whatever Van Halen brought in. You split it five ways. And they just decided that Michael Anthony deserved nothing going forward, no points going forward, on any of their back catalog, I believe.
In fact, they cut him out of 1984 after 1984 was done.
But they did it after the record was done.
Right. Yeah.
Didn't do it before. They did it in the middle. And if Michael had come to me, and he was a sweet guy. He never gave me a problem, ever. I would have told him, Michael, tear it up, throw it in their face, tell them you're taking a vacation, and don't play tonight.
Yeah.
But he didn't come to me, and there was nothing I can do but sit and be disgusted at these three guys standing over him. He was signing it on the floor, and they stood over him with smirks on their face. I have never been as disgusted by any group of people as much as what they did to him.
Well, it's just cruel is what it is. It seems very, very cruel.
If Al, like I said, didn't have the name Van Halen, they would have done the same thing to him.
Yeah.
But Al was one of the instigators. And Michael had a voice that was beautiful. They needed that. And in all honesty, they didn't need Al. They could have gotten anyone to replace him. They could have gotten anyone to replace Michael on bass, but it was very hard to replace that voice. Mm-hmm. But Al was the one who, he was mean and greedy. Well, that's a horrible human being by the end.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And he started out being a very funny kind of friendly guy.
Yeah. Well, that's where
and
I think.
Edward was so crelled out and drunk.
Crelled.
That Al could run over him like a tank. And, you know, they had their dicks tied together. And so.
Gross. Well,
you know,
docking.
Yeah, it's family.
He could do whatever he wanted.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where I think the book is really interesting, though, is not only do you give, in a book like this, everybody expects sort of the groupie talk and some of the fun stories about that, and we'll get into some of that, too. There definitely are some. But what I think is really interesting is the personalities behind it, how these guys developed as time went on, how they got, as you say, vicious with each other. And
excuse me.
And no problem. And details as to who was making the money and who wasn't. I think, again, I'm going to give huge props to Joe Layden, co-author here with Noel Monk, for really portraying the business end of this thing. I found that really interesting about your book, Noel.
You can say as much about Joe as you want. He is brilliant.
He is.
I've heard that.
And my wife and my daughter helped, and I had Matt Harper at HarperCollins.
Are you still with Jan? You talk about Jan in the book.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. It's good to hear.
Well, that story you tell about Jan, I think you guys brought her out. She was with you one day, and she notices there are like 40 or 50 road crew guys coming off the cruise trailer, and she's like, "What's going on over there?"
And it was actually a bus.
Bus trailer. That was a little rough to you for you to explain to her like what was going on in that moment.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Do you want to explain now for our audience what was going on in that bus?
Well, I had 98 guys on the road, total 140 with the office and whatever. And these guys worked from 6:30 in the morning. And they needed a little bit of a release. And there's something that bugs me, and that is people put down women on the road.
Yeah, it's always bugged me too.
Sluts.
It bothers me too when I hear someone go, "Oh, those whores." It's like it's unfortunate that happens.
They are part of
the process, right, Noel? Part of the process.
Without them, like when we were with Sabbath in England, there were no women. The guys were going crazy.
Yeah.
And these girls were fans of the band. Anyhow, there were a couple girls in the back of the bus who were giving blowjobs to most of the crew.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was pretty common.
Got a little K-dog.
And I just couldn't, you know, she said, "Are they having, you know, dinner?" I said, "Well, not really."
Sort of. Protein, anyways.
They might have been getting eaten, but they weren't having dinner.
Oh, no. That was a pussy eating joke.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Trump and I like pussy. What can I say?
Hey, speaking of food, man, and eating, guacamole. Tell us about the guacamole incident with Steve Perry.
Yes.
We're huge Journey fans over here, and you're about to tell a story about Steve Perry. I don't think Arnell Panetta would have done this. I agree.
It's a great story. It's better told in the book, but I loved it. I was coming in from the stage, and Steve was a very nice guy. When he left the band, you know, they got another guy who sings just like him.
Yeah, Arnell Panetta.
Incredible.
He's also
an incredibly nice guy.
Yeah.
But I walk into the room and there is silence. And there is never silence in their dressing room. And everyone is looking at the floor. And I'm saying, shit, what did they do? All of a sudden, I said, "All right, who did what?" And it said, "It was David's fault. He threw a bowl of peanuts at me." I said, "Well, you know, not a capital offense there, Ed." So Ed said, "I threw a bowl of guacamole at him." And it was this mirror that ran across the tables that you could look in and do your makeup and, you know. And it was like about a 2.5-foot blank. And there was a stripe of green guacamole across the rest of it. I said, okay, who is in the blank? And Ed said, well, actually, Steve Perry was. I said, you trash the lead singer of the headlining act. And he said, well, we didn't mean to. Anyhow, I said, where is he? And he was in the bathroom, and I spent about an hour and a half cleaning him up.
And how big of a pussy is Steve Perry crying
over
this?
He was crying, yeah.
Supposed to be a big, bad rock star.
It was a new Journey jacket.
Oh, one of those satin Journey jackets.
Yeah, with the tails on it. Did it have the tails?
Yeah, I would have broken down in tears too. Come on,
really? A little guacamole on your jacket?
I would have been crying for days.
No, you wouldn't have, Noel.
I got very thin skin. You know that hurt to have my jacket messed up.
Hey, let me ask you this: Van Halen's famous for their diva-like concert venue rider, specifically as to M&Ms. I think everybody knows this story where they demand a certain color M&Ms, only certain,
no brown ones.
Yeah, no brown ones. They're just unacceptable.
What? It's so simple.
Yeah, what was that all about? Why'd you do that?
He said, listen, Noel, they're not reading the rider. So, and we are like a phone book rider. So I put in, okay, Steve, I want a huge bowl of M&Ms, but no brown ones. And he said, why? I said, because we're going to fine them $100 for every one that's in there. And that way I knew they read the rider.
Yeah.
You know, it was just road savvy on my part. And Steve said it worked. They're reading that rider after the third time. They got penalized $2,000-$3,000. So
it got them to pay attention to the bigger issues.
To any issue. And the second one was even better. Steve and I came up with Coney Island Whitefish. Do you know what that is?
No.
Coming from New York, if you've ever been to Coney Island on a Sunday morning, you see the Coney Island whitefish coming up on the sand. And what they are is used condoms.
We call
them Coney Island whitefish.
Oh, no.
And they would bubble and bubble. And these condoms would be across the beach. What's wrong with you? You know?
You're talking about used condoms rolling up on shore. Can I not be grossed out here, Noel?
You know, I remember one little girl went to her daddy and said, Daddy, would you blow this balloon up? And everybody cracked up. Hey, you know, you got to open your sensibilities up, guys.
Jay,
you can't be so straight.
Hey, you're the one who said he'd cry over spilled guacamole, okay? I can't be upset about a used condom rolling
upset
up on shore.
What can I say?
I think Jay's got you beat on that one, Noel.
Yeah, Noel. Come on.
You know what?
You guys are being pussies about this.
Yeah, I know. Jay is. I would agree with you that Jay is.
Fucked up. You got. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, it's okay. It's okay. We're a Christian radio show. That's why it's a little tough. So, but don't worry.
Yeah.
One of the other things, Noel, that came out of the book, and I was kind of disappointed. I don't mean to be a pussy about this, but it seemed like the guys were just cold in a lot of respects, very self-centered and cold. And one of the stories you told was about opening for the Rolling Stones, big opportunity. Van Halen's huge. Rolling Stones are the Rolling Stones. And you guys were getting basically a limo drive from one end of the stadium to the other end of the stadium. And I just felt so bad for the limo driver having to put up with that shit. You know, you want to explain what happened?
If I have to. Now, I don't know. They normally were respectful of other people's stuff. Well, all of a sudden, Al opened up the glove compartment and said, what's in here? And the guy said, oh, just papers. And he ripped it off, the glove compartment door off. And all of a sudden, they went crazy.
In this guy's limo.
They tore this brand new expensive limo to shreds. I remember Ed dancing on the roof. Now that I didn't appreciate of all their trashing, because it wasn't like a Dave L limo. It was his personal limo. And so the guys went in and the limo was trashed. I mean, trashed. And I went up to him. I said, listen, you don't worry about it. I'm going to pay to get your limo fixed up and detailed. And until your limo is back working again, I'm going to pay you for all the time that it's not working.
It's the right thing to do, Noel.
He said, you're going to actually do that? Yeah, and you're going to get a 5,000 bonus over that.
Wow.
It took about a week to put it back together again. And I had to pay 20% of it, but, you know.
You got to enjoy the trashing too,
right.
Though. So.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
I'm just kidding. Hey, Noel.
I was not trashing.
I know. You got to enjoy it, though. You got to be inside while it was going on. But, hey, talk about David Lee Roth.
Who? Never heard of him.
Talk about him and his personality and the creative differences between he and Ed that ultimately caused the split.
It was mainly because he was Jewish. We all hated Jews. No, I'm kidding.
No.
I happen to be Jewish, so I can say things like that.
Sorry to hear
Anyhow,
that.
I'm sorry.
Sorry
I
you have to deal with
your
that.
Very important question.
All right. He's mocking you, Jay. What was your question again?
Yeah, about David Lee. Look at your notes.
No, David Lee Roth. David Lee Roth's personality. And what was the ultimate split? It wasn't because he was a Jew. What was the ultimate thing that broke up Van Halen personality?
You really have to read the book. It's not one thing.
No, sell the book, dude. I read the fucking book. You sell it.
Well,
we're giving you a chance to sell.
Tell them why they broke up.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, that's why we got you on the phone.
Yeah, I want to talk to Van Halen's manager.
Yeah, all right, then let me get the book. I'll read it to you.
Fuck,
dude. The bottom line is you cannot pin it on Ed and David not getting along. You got to get into drugs, egos, greedy. You get into all these different things that cause them to break up. The way they treated Michael showed how bad they were getting. The fact that Al had dementia praecox and was seeing huge penises coming out of the wall.
Yeah,
that
it's pretty
was
extreme.
Part of it. You can't pin it on me to give you one or two things.
No, but
here's how this works, Noel. We call you. You're selling a book. I'm asking you a question. I'm setting it up for you.
It's a nerf toss.
Dude. Talk about David Lee Roth, what a fucking cocksucker he is, his weird-ass personality, and how the band broke up.
It's not as simple.
Well, that's how you start your answer. Look, that's not a simple answer, but let me tell you what. And then you go down the bullet points, right? And then you tell me all the things you said without bitching about it, man.
Yeah, Jay, you yelled at Jay a little bit, Noel.
You did, Noel. You joked about
what?
Being Jewish. You threw it back at me.
Yeah, you basically called him a lousy interviewer. You called him a lousy interviewer,
being
Noel.
Very sensitive.
Well, Jay,
I'm trying to move this along, man.
I'm going
to
put a dress on.
I'm really trying to move this along.
You know. Let's get down to
hey,
it.
Hey, you're the guy with the
Give
guacamole. At the end of the
kiss.
Day, you would cry over guacamole. I wouldn't. So you wear the dress, my
All
friend.
Right, maybe I wouldn't. So I maybe was kidding with
no,
you.
No, you
maybe
weren't.
Maybe not.
You admitted you would cry over spilt guacamole,
God
Noel. You can't take
it
back.
You're making my bones hurt.
I'm a sensitive guy. I'm going to wear a dress with you.
Hey, you were still manager for David Lee Roth, and I think the point Jay was getting to about the breakup was his solo career. And you were there for the
that was the bottom line. You see,
yep.
When David said,
see, that should have been your final
I'll
bullet
give you
point.
A bottom line point.
Okay.
When David decided to do his own 4 EP.
Yeah.
Well, that obviated the ability for us to do an 85 tour.
Yeah.
We could not go out. If you want to pin it on something, pin it on that.
Noel, you're a feisty son of a
bitch.
I
love Noel. Hey, Noel, do you remember Eddie building his Frankenstein guitars and stuff? Do you remember being around when he was doing that?
Who?
Edward Van Halen.
What about that kid?
When he was building his Frankenstein guitars, you know, when you go on the road, Noel, you're funny. When you go on the road, Ooh. you take 50 guitars. You can't take 50 like handmade by Eddie Van Halen guitars. So what would he do? Did he have a bunch of Frankenstein guitars?
Yeah, he made up with a deal with a guitar company. They made him up, and he sold them as his guitars.
Dumb question, Mike.
Oh, I feel like a moron.
You know,
can you tell us
what
a good...
What do you think he did? He spent all his time making guitars?
Hey, Noel, can you tell us...
I don't know. That's right. You were... There's only one person on this phone line right now, Noel, that was in the room that could absolutely answer that question, and it ain't me.
Noel, you
You're
tell
right.
me.
I apologize.
Noel, you tell me what I should ask you next.
Ask me how good looking I am.
How good looking
are
you?
I'll tell you what, dude. You got some pictures in there.
Incredibly good looking for a 97-year-old man.
Do you still have the mustache?
Of course.
Because that thing was kicking some major ass.
I mean, that tickles a pussy.
Noel, I got to be honest with you. You don't look 97. I'm not going to call you a liar to your face, but you don't look 97.
All right, 96.
Okay, maybe. Hey, did you keep any of the Van Halen stuff, like memorabilia-wise? Do you have a Frankenstein guitar laying around somewhere?
Oh, I got a dozen of them.
Oh, you're
of
full of shit.
Of course not.
Why?
I would be a wealthy man if I did.
Yeah. Are you a wealthy man?
No.
Why what? Not?
Because I didn't have a point on that record.
What did you do after the band let you go?
Well, I took my wife on a 8-month trip around the world.
Yeah, I don't need to hear like every month. I just want to know like major occupation thereafter.
We did Prophet.
Did what?
Prophet was what? A pretty good band.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
Prophet the band.
Tried to break them. Took a long time. And they screwed up too, but they screwed up before they started. They yeah. were the biggest embarrassment I ever had. I invited everybody who I knew down to a club in Manhattan. And they picked that one time to get so screwed up that they couldn't sing, dance, or play a musical instrument.
Wow. Everybody's unprepared except Noel.
I could have sung better, and I can't sing. I'm yeah. tone deaf.
Wow. Well, that's too bad. Maybe we'd be talking about the new book about Prophet right now if it wasn't for that night.
Nah, talk about my old book about the Sex Pistols.
Yeah, man. You got that. Did you do that with co-writer Joe Layden as well?
Nothing but good about him.
I understand
but
that.
He's brilliant.
My friend Sid would teach you a lesson.
Yeah, he would, huh?
Sid he vicious. Wouldn't take any of your crap.
Are you I threatening me now, Noel? Are you threatening me, sir?
Well, absolutely. I'll bring Sid back and he'll whip your bloody butt.
He's a little scrawny son of a bitch.
What happened
you
with
know what I do? I'd leg sweep and then I'd elbow to the throat.
Radio, but come on, I'll meet you in the alley. No, just kidding. I had 12 security guards, you know.
Yeah, it helps, doesn't it?
WDFA, we didn't fool around.
You didn't fuck around is what you meant to say.
That's true. That's true, too.
Noel, I'll tell you, Jay and I do a lot of interviews. You wouldn't know it from this one, but we do a lot of interviews and we read a lot of books. I never start reading a book or taking notes until I know that the guy that wrote it or the subject matter will be a guest on this show. I read this book and I took full notes before you were even booked, sir. I enjoyed it a lot. I think Van Halen fans will get a lot out of this book. It's called Running with the Devil, A Backstage Pass to the Wild Times, Loud Rock, and Down and Dirty Truth Behind the Making of Van Halen by Noel Monk and Joe Layden, of course.
Give Joe his props.
That's right. Noel, thank you very much for the time, buddy.
Thanks, Noel.
I appreciate it. You guys got a good sense of humor if you can put up with me.
Shit, yeah, buddy.
I really appreciate you bringing me on, because without you, no book.
And the cool thing is, Noel, we have your phone number now, that your personal
and
cell phone.
And you know what? You can call me anytime you want.
That's what we want to hear, sir.
I'll tell you the same thing, whether I'm sleeping or not. All
whether right. you're sober
if
or
I'm
drunk.
Sober.
Yep. That's right. We're going to take
Thank
you up on
you
that.
Guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Take care, man.
We'll talk
have
to you soon.
Have a great evening.
You too.
I hope you both get laid.
Ah,
goodbye.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you, Noel.
Phone, Noel. Oh.
Squeaky screen door. I just want to hear fridge open in a beer crack. Yeah.
Glug, glug, glug.
Or I'm bitching about it. It's dastardly. Wow. Ooh. Wake up, Noel.
He sent me a text.
Noel.
I am coming for you, Noel. You do not threaten J. Detroit Cast. I am coming for you.
Gross.
Noel, buddy.
Hey, Noel.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Jay and Mike with the Chicago Cast. We're lucky to have Noel Monk on the line talking about his fabulous new book, Running with the Devil. Noel, are you there?
Noel, how are you, sir? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, he just walked away.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hang it up. That was not what I expected, sir.
Yeah.
Because, dude, bottom line, I'm not kidding, Joe Layden did a good job. This is a pretty good book, man.
It is. It is. Yeah. And Van Halen fans, honestly, will.
Yeah, they'll like this book.
They will. They will like it. I liked it. You liked
yeah.
it.
Do it's not, full of do a lot not of stuff. Let that interview fool you. It's a damn good book.
You think he's just a weird, quirky guy?
Maybe.
I mean, I was going to ask him, like, why did the guys from Van Halen coldly cut you out and fire you and blow out? And I'm like, well... He was our manager.
The whole thing's a fucking mess.
Get out of
a lot of what 33 years beyond the firing, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
could have really had it together back then.
Yeah,
could have.
I don't know. That was weird. Maybe that's how he sounds. I almost want to call him back in like a couple days and just be like, "Hey, man," and just see if he sounds like that or yeah. if it's like.
Oh, we'll call him back.
Yeah, yeah.
My man, Noel. Hell yeah.
Not a coincidence that his number ends in 5150, dude. I don't buy that. And it's not that hard. The Red Wings players all had their jersey numbers incorporated in their cell phones, so it's not that hard to do. Anyway, that was Noel Monk. Hopefully you guys got something out of that.
The Detroit Cast continues after this short break.
Hi, everyone. This is Kelly Menino, your event coordinator for the Hamlin Pubs. Did you know that Hamlin Pubs offer two private rooms at each location, both located in Shelby Township? We specialize in all kinds of events, from bridal and baby showers, dinner rehearsals, to corporate luncheons and wedding receptions. My team is committed to making your occasion your most memorable event. Give me a call today so that we can plan your next event. Call me at 586-596-1425 or visit our website at hamlinpubs.com.
The Detroit Cast continues now, bitches. Here's Mike and Jay.
All right, welcome back to the Detroit Cast, Mike and Jay.
Thanks for having me back, Mike.
Yeah, of course. Had it no other way.
Dude.
Yeah.
We got to give something away to a member.
Ah, okay.
Don't you think it's time?
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Yeah, that's
we
good.
We should do that.
Over the break, E and I drew a name. Nanas and Champions. Those are our $25 and $50 per month membership levels.
Okay.
They are in the running for TDC Originals.
For sure.
And things that we use here in the studio. And I'm going to give up my copy of Running with the Devil by Joe Layden. And Noel Monk. I'm gonna give this up, and we chose the name Stephen Joseph, Nana member.
Okay.
So thank you, Steve, Stephen, however you go. Or maybe it's Joseph
Two
Stephen.
First names.
I know, you can't trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot trust
It's always shifty to me, these guys that have two
totally.
First names.
Yeah.
I wasn't even sure. I'm like, is it Joe Stephen or Stephen Joseph? Whichever.
Whichever.
You've
is
won
Is there
it.
A comma in there?
I'm going to include for you my notes, my interview notes, because this will be proof that we actually had a pretty good interview set up, I think.
Yeah.
We planned for this.
Yeah, I can give you some of my notes if you want to add to.
And you'll see that we actually thought this through and
put a lot of time into it.
Didn't exactly go as planned. But
you guys need to read the book.
Read the book.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
It just shows, and again, we're 30 years out from that dude being fired, so who knows what the personality was like back then.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It suggests that maybe a grating personality from the business side of things as well. Those guys, dude, you read this book, and they just were at each other's throats.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it just continued with Sammy, too, you know, in the Sammy days.
Well, Sammy says that the Van Halen brothers were unlivable.
Yeah.
Like they were monsters.
And then you add Wolfie into it.
Yeah.
And it becomes just a...
Yep.
Nepotism abounded, but Sammy recently commented to Rolling Stone about a possible reunion. Just some speculation. He said, "I haven't talked to anybody, not reaching out. I'm going to tell you exactly what my dream would be, though." So this is just total dream, and how cool would this be? It would be Sam, Mike, Dave, Al, and Eddie, the band's 1984 lineup plus Hagar. If Eddie's son Wolfie's band opened, that's fine. I'd say, Dave, you got to go out and play two songs, then walk off the stage. I'll walk off. I'll do two songs. I'll walk off. You do two songs. Can you imagine the competition of that? Dave goes out and does Jump and Ain't Talk About Love, and I go out there and blow out something like Good Enough. You got to hit it hard, and you better be good. I would give my money to food banks if they would do the same. I would love to give the fans the greatest Van Halen show they could possibly have today and then say, okay, I still don't like you guys.
That will never happen.
I know.
That will never happen. Didn't
Pipe
they
dream.
I thought they tried to do that at one point.
I think you're right.
When Dave was the headliner one night and Sammy the next or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, maybe not meshed together in the same show, but actually a tour that involved those two, just not on the same stage on
yeah.
the same nights. Maybe I'm imagining that.
I don't remember how it didn't last long before it blew up. The bigger problem, though, is Wolfie. It's Eddie's kid.
Yeah.
He wants his kid in the band. And so I don't see them ever going, yeah, Wolfie's going to open up for Van Halen. Not going to happen, dude.
Yeah, it's too bad. They had a good thing going.
Yeah, sure did. Yeah, and I know Sammy takes that personally, like how they treated Michael. When he was kicked out of Van Halen for Wolfie, Sammy had some really harsh comments about that. Like, uh-huh. You know, are you kidding me? Michael Anthony, all that he's done for this band, as great a guy as he is, fuck you guys. He was not happy about it. But good. So we gave the book away, and you will enjoy the book, sir.
Yeah.
You will. It's
Stephen
it's a good
Joseph
read.
Or Joseph Stephen, whoever you are.
Exactly.
So email me, man. No, you know what? I'll email you. How about
there you
that?
Go. Even better. A story that we haven't really talked about, Jay, that's been kind of blowing up here over the last couple days is the woman who got shot by that Minneapolis cop.
Yeah. Another Minneapolis shooting, huh?
Yeah. I guess she was unfianced.
She was.
40-year-old yoga instructor. Justine Damond, she's unfianced. She's unfianced, but she's already taken his name. Is that?
Yeah,
how
it seems a bit,
works?
Yeah, a little presumptuous.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, until we go down the aisles, I mean, he
quick
still has an out, you know, with cold feet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Don does Damond, and it's, yeah, a little presumptuous to just assume that name already. But
yeah, but this
whatever.
Chick apparently she called the cops on a ruckus. There's some sort of ruckus.
Sexual assault.
Is that right?
Yeah.
In the alley behind
her
residence.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls him, and she ends up dead. And there's just this total gap in detail. The police aren't putting out any sort of statement right now. And unfortunately,
yeah.
the body cameras of these two guys, which I think under Minnesota law, were supposed to be on following the Philando Calrissian shooting.
Right.
But they were off for some reason. And the only details I heard about the shooting was that the two cops were in the car. She was kind of at the driver's side window.
Yes.
And the passenger side cop shot.
Yeah. Pulled out his gun for some reason. And witnesses said she had a cell phone in her hand and she was talking to the cop that was driving the car.
Yeah.
And this guy, for whatever reason, pulled and shot her in the abdomen. And, you know, they tried doing CPR and stuff, but she's in her pajamas. What's come out just this afternoon is that the partner of the cop who was at the driver's window was stunned by the actions of the other officer.
Okay.
That's what a police source is saying, that he was absolutely like,
what the fuck did you just do? Yeah, I was going to
speculate
that.
Why did you shoot that?
Maybe this chick's like bipolar or something. She appears okay, you know, in terms of what family are representing her as, but maybe she went off the rails a little bit, but maybe
yeah.
not. Maybe this dude just, for whatever, why do you even have your gun out?
I don't know. And you wouldn't.
Somali born.
I know. What's his name? Muhammad Boor, I think. I know. People are already like,
I don't trust nobody with the name of Muhammad.
Yelly.
You know, the mayor praised him not long ago. She put on Facebook that she wanted to take a moment to recognize Officer Muhammad Boor, the newest Somali officer in the Minneapolis
department.
That's
just for her own bullshit political benefit.
Oh, I know.
That has nothing to do with.
You're right, but. You know, you.
I can name that motive in one note.
That's too bad, dude, that it's already like,
Yeah.
He's from Somalia, huh?
We're not being serious.
Yeah. The mayor is demanding to know what's up with these body cams. Like, why weren't these on? We worked so hard after Philando Calrissian died to make sure that every officer had these. But there's a little thing in there. Like, I think some of them have to have it on all the time. Like, it's not, you're not able to turn it on and off as you please. I believe in Minnesota, you have some say in that. And it's like, it's supposed to be on for traffic stops, interactions that, you know, like certain things, but it doesn't always have to be on. And so that gives them a little bit of leeway.
Suggesting that this was like a nothing kind of interaction with this lady?
It sounds like, from what I read, and I haven't read a ton on it, but in Minneapolis, they say that any interactions basically with the public, so if you're just driving around, you don't need your body cam on, but for a traffic stop or, you know, if you're going to the scene of crime, so the mayor's really pissed off, like, dude.
Sounds like it should have been on for sure.
Yeah, exactly. The officer did offer condolences. And, you know, feels like this was his calling to be a police officer, and I want to protect the community and, you know, respect my privacy during this time. He does have a lawyer already, and the family's obviously distraught and, you know, desperate for answers. Her parents mm-hmm. made statements like that, and but yeah, it's I don't know. I'm sure this will get twisted because that looks really bad. If the details are right about that and something doesn't come out that you go, oh, okay, now I see why.
Yeah, why you would even have your weapon out of its holster.
Yeah.
I'd like to know that.
I mean, because there's nothing she could say that would warrant that. I mean, even if she was talking to the one cop and was like, yeah, is it safe to talk around your ARAB partner? Are you sure he's not going to blow us up or something? I mean, bitch pulls it out and shoots her. I mean, like, I don't know. A girl in her pajamas with a cell phone in her hand just doesn't seem like that big of a threat. But and so if he's indicted for this, I can already see it. It's going to be
black cop.
Oh, yeah, sure. The brown cop throw his ass in jail when he shoots a white woman. Now it's important. Fuck you, whitey, white devil motherfucker. So I don't know, man. I don't know. We might have to let this cop skate just on that alone, just to make sure, you know, like we don't send the wrong message.
Yeah, something's screwy about this one. We need more details.
Yeah.
Hey. A comprehensive financial plan is the roadmap that can give you the confidence to know that you're on the right financial path. Be one of the first 10 listeners to call Mark Leibovitz at LPL Financial for a free comprehensive financial plan with his new Fandango software. Merck gets big time into software. He gets big time into financial analysis. And so he is a pig in shit right now.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're on the right path. Call 248-626-2000. Ask for Mark. E, did you have something you wanted to add to that? A little tag on?
Sure. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
Jay, I have a couple more stories, but we're running a little late. We wanted to get to some email. Looks like you've got quite a stack of posts there as well.
Quite a stack of posts.
Why don't we, I've got a couple more stories. Why don't we just do them in member area?
Sounds delightful.
Is that cool?
We shall do that.
All right. What do you got over there?
Before I get to the reading of posts, mm-hmm. got to tell you about the Hamlin Pub. They have 5 locations, Clarkston, Chesterfield, Rochester, and 2 in Shelby Township. Hamlin Pub offers a wide selection of craft beers, most of which are brewed right here in Michigan. They have great happy hour specials Monday through Friday, 2 to 6, and half off appetizers on Monday. Check out all their specials at all 5 locations. Go to HamlinPubs.com for more info, including more info on the hot dog eating contest coming up Sunday, July 23rd at 1 p.m. Registration is at 12. That's at 22 Mile and Hayes mm-hmm. in Shelby.
So make sure you got that. 22 Mile and Hayes. It's not just the Hamlin Pub we've been at before. It's a couple miles south of that.
Not the one that Massey was at, if you were mm-hmm. out of the Massey show. It's a different one. Come see us. We'll all be out there, and we will all be anxiously awaiting Big E's performance, the Big E's performance
Big E.
in this hot dog eating contest. Now, on to post. I'll say this, Mike. I was excited for the summer for many reasons, one of which is the receipt of post, which I anticipated would go swimmingly, and in fact, it has. I won't get to this pile over here. Okay. I'll save that for later.
Jesus, dude. How many more postcards did you get?
I'll start on this pile right here.
Okay.
The Outer Banks of North Carolina. It seems that our friend Harriet and Karen, we might have a lesbian couple in our midst.
Well,
have traveled,
I would hope so.
Traveled to the Outer Banks in North Carolina. Hi, Mike, Jay, and Big E. We took a venture out to the Outer Banks with a 10-month-old. What a venture it has been. Beautiful pictures of lighthouses there.
Oh, nice stalk-looking figures.
I think I've been to the Outer Banks. Yeah. Pretty sure I have, actually. Nice.
I've been to the Inner Banks, but never the Outer Banks.
Huh.
There you go.
Mike posts in, Bonjour, podcasters. This time I send you well wishes from Paris.
A little
angry with you guys for taking the week off. I don't feel like I was getting my freeze worth. Anyway, your obscure fact from Paris is that in 1886, France gave the U.S. the Statue of Liberty. We knew that, right?
Yes, we did.
Even Isis knew that.
Yes, of course.
In 1889, we gave them back a 1/4 scale replica in honor of the centennial of the French Revolution. Now get back to work. Bye for now.
Wait, we gave them a 1/4
replica of the Statue of Liberty. So there you have, in the shadow of the Eiffel Tower, a little tiny wee Statue of Liberty. Is that for real? Doesn't it look kind of like photoshopped in?
Yeah, it does.
I know I've heard about the idea of us giving that to them. I don't know as far as...
I had no idea, man.
And why would we give them, like, if you gave me $20 and then it's like, I wanted to return the favor and I gave you a $5.
I know.
Like, you know, it's like...
Well, maybe we didn't ask for the $20 and it was like kind of like, I didn't even ask for that, but I guess I'll try to return some sort of favor. Here you go. Now I'm, you know... about $5.
Yeah.
Spent the 20 already.
Mm-hmm.
Tim writes in, posts in, I'm sorry. I hope this post finds you well, Jay. The quaint village of Sutton's Bay is nice, but it certainly lacks the prestige and grandeur found in Franklin. Please tell Big E that there are ample bed and breakfast up here should he decide to do a Save the Relationship weekend with TCG. There you have Sutton's Bay.
Wow.
Yeah.
That looks beautiful, E.
Bed and breakfast with TCG?
No. This is hilarious. The photos.
This little wee Statue of Liberty in the shadow of the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
That is so wee. It doesn't look right.
No, it doesn't. I mean, the pedestal that it's on is bigger than it.
You're absolutely right. It
you know what I mean?
It literally is. It literally is. Speaking of France, have you guys been watching Le Tour?
No.
God you? Damn you, dude. I thought I inspired you.
You did. You inspired me to watch Tour de Pharmacy. The
Netflix original?
I think it's an HBO one that what's his name? Andy Samberg did.
Okay.
It's pretty funny. A lot of new dicks in there.
Inspired you in some way, at least.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Good.
To get behind it, and yeah, it's pretty good.
On to email proper. Hi, King. Good news. JPC the 4th has sent you a gift card from Fandango. Yes, indeed, I did receive one, and here's what it says. To the King. Value, $25. Meant to send this a while back when you guys touched on the subject. Rules. One, you must use this gift card on Wonder Woman. So I have to go see Wonder Woman. Two.
I was thinking Fandango. Isn't that the movie thing?
Yeah, like, it is indeed.
Okay.
Two, no E. Take Mike, Gab, Russell, etc. I won't contribute to E's laziness. It pains me to think that he receives a portion of my $50 monthly contribution through membership. I guarantee you enjoy this movie. The no man's land scene is worth the price of admission.
Wow. Two things. One, I think he just wrote that so everyone knew he's giving $50. Two, dude, that's not a punishment. Like, a punishment would be making me have to go see that movie and talk about it.
He really doesn't want to see Wonder Woman.
Like, really?
That is not
a
punishment.
It's really good.
So
I've heard
what?
It's really
They're
good,
all the
too,
same.
Dude, but
they're all the same.
You know, JPC the 4th, I thank you, you know, number one, for that gift.
Are you going to take him up on his gift?
Me.
I have to go see it now. Yeah, I'm not going to gank him on that.
Yeah.
But, dude, I'm not optimistic about this.
Really? I heard great things about all the reviews were...
It's just the superhero stuff, you know? It's the over and over CGI. It's the, like you say, the guy's getting thrown through eight walls and then getting up and then getting flattened by a punch.
Yeah.
What about the fucking eight cinder block walls? It did nothing?
Whatever happens to those buildings after the whole fight's over, the city just moves on?
Well, I think that was the Batman's problem in Batman v Superman, wasn't it? He was pissed that Superman was wrecking Gotham.
Yeah.
It's part of the problem, I think.
I really have always wondered that. It's like we always have these, I don't watch them, but I know the storylines, and they mostly take place in New York. So they have a period here that this movie takes place where buildings are just getting destroyed, and then the city just goes, well...
Yeah, you'd think to
fix that back up and
a tremendous amount of deaths. You can't have these buildings falling. You never hear about the death toll. It's like look what the Twin Towers did.
And that was
damage
and that was
that
almost
caused.
fully evacuated at the time.
If you remember,
imagine.
That was the ill-timed 3,000
people died.
That was that ill-timed joke I made in that casting call that girl hated. Remember? We were watching Spider-Man or something on the screen, and I always said, you know, what happens in New York after these, you know, they just leave, these cities are just destroyed. Someone kind of laughed a little bit. I was like, I mean, we know what happened in 9/11. And then that girl was like, really? 9/11? Really?
Too soon.
Yeah, it was too soon.
Well, I think that the residents of New York are so relieved that the Green Goblin isn't going to rule over them.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck it. You know, a few buildings fell. We're just
like,
happy.
Does anyone else in the world give a fuck? Yeah.
But
like, do people in Kansas City care that the you know, Green Goblin's tearing down some buildings in NYC?
I wouldn't want the Green Goblin roaming around Kansas City wiping people out. I mean, I'm sympathetic to their plight. I wouldn't want that.
The superstars don't give a fuck about any of these midtown cities, you know, the flyover states.
Disrespected again.
Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully there's a plot to Wonder Woman. We haven't seen Wonder Woman on the big screen before, so hopefully there's some decent plot development. My problem with Spider-Man, Batman, all those, is they start from the same storyline. It's like, dude, you've got...
The origin story of Spider-Man. Really? Do we have to see that again?
You've got
4,000... Dude gets bitten by a fucking magic spider. I get it.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy, Jay.
And there's 4,000 comic books to choose from. Like, pick anything and start there. I mean, you could literally tell that story. Yeah.
Fucking Ant-Man's a movie.
Yeah. And that did well, too.
How about Alpha Flight, dude? I remember Alpha Flight because my brother was big time into it. It's basically the Canadian version. God bless our neighbors to the north. the Canadian version of X-Men.
Really?
Yeah, and they've got sort of a corresponding group of
mutants.
You've
brought this up before. This is not the first time you brought up Alpha Flight
and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It's a whole group of X-Men, basically, that are untouched. And I think Wolverine was a crossover with those two. But they've done so many Wolverines and X-Men, you think they'd like try to cross over into that realm.
Maybe.
Alpha Flight.
I feel like you can set up the story. I understand why they do it. It's like, well, it's been 15 years. There's a new generation of kids that don't know the origin story. Well, do it in like Star Wars with a scroll. Kid bit by a spider. You could do that in 30 seconds and then go, here we are. Fast forward 200 years. Now we find Spider-Man at this point.
So those words in space and then you pan down to Earth.
Or whatever planet he's on now. And
Sure.
Go from there. We don't need to start in... You know, with Peter. Peter, please, Peter. Peter, stop getting bitten by spiders, Peter.
Yeah, dude, there's Alpha Flight, man. There's Sasquatch. I think one is named Storm. See that little tiny guy at the bottom? He's like a little bowling ball-looking dude. Okay,
that's the Hulk.
Sasquatch. Yeah, and see, there's
Wonder Woman off to the right.
I think that guy's name is Puck, actually, the little guy.
I like the one that does have the Canadian flag.
Yeah, and dude, and there's Wolverine. Wolverine's the crossover.
Yeah, this is their Captain America.
One of them is Shaman. I remember him.
That's telling you. That's Spock. Why do they have Spock in there?
Ah, it does look like Spock.
Where's their Gleek? Where's the Canadian Gleek?
Yeah, where's the Wonder Twins?
Oh, no.
Tell you, they got four bitches I see at least in their thing. Is that five? They got this Dykey one over here.
Yeah, that's like the Professor.
The Professor and Marianne?
Yeah, mixed in one.
Hmm.
Jay writes in.
Oh, wait a minute. I just want to say, all I got out of that is that by working hard and shit, you have to go see a Wonder Woman, and I don't have to. So, once again, it pays off.
Well, apparently, it's a really good movie, and I'm going to enjoy it. And JPC 4th believes it so strongly that he's going to send me there.
Yep.
So, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Jay writes in. Gentlemen and E, just wondering if you've had a chance to hear the new Jay-Z album. I'm not too big into rap, but the name of the album is 444. So, he's clearly a fan of the Detroit cast. It's pretty good. Also, Jay, I know you give Big E shit for liking Blink 182, but you should listen to their song "A New Hope." It's about Star Wars. You'll like it. Thoughts and prayers, Jay. I actually am not like totally against Blink 182. I just like getting
all the small things.
I could do that with anyone. You know, I just don't know your bands good enough. I could every one of these bands that you guys go on for half an hour. Sometimes I could be like, "Oh, you're gonna play that?"
Are you saying Tom doesn't have it?
All the small things.
Yeah, it's one song.
That lends to us doing that.
Yeah, your shitty bands from the 80s don't have things that lend to that.
Jesus.
Well, you should learn some songs.
Running with the Devil didn't seem that great when I was listening to it earlier.
Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Ooh, yeah.
I still have his mic.
Oh, God, I'm running.
A.A. Ron writes in concerning Martin Landau's character, Kurzweil?
Was X-Files.
Yeah. He was helping and supportive of Mulder and Scully.
Shit,
I
haven't watched a movie in 10 years.
You're probably thinking of Cigarette Smoking Man.
No, I wasn't. But
who we never knew if he was helping or not sometimes. Duh.
No, that's not who I was thinking of. I just didn't remember. You know what? You know when I said that and then I looked up his picture in X-Files, I realized I was definitely talking about a wrong person. So. Mm.
Way to go, E.
Way to correct the record on your own. You needed to wait for an email to do it for
care.
You.
A-Dub writes in, Mr. Know-It-All Rock and Roll Walters. Episode 856. How do you not know who Carl Palmer is? I'm hoping you were just joking around. If you're not familiar with his drumming, we're going to have to butt your rock credibility in timeout corner with a misbehaving proops for a day or two. I think I'm the one who indicated I didn't know who Carl Palmer is. I thought you said you did.
Oh, I know who he is now because I saw him live. I didn't. And
no?
If he was someone else's drummer that I should know, but I would never pretend to know members of REO Speedwagon or
Asia.
There's a lot of bands where it was just like, no, dude, I wouldn't have known them at all. If Carl Palmer was some genius in other bands, though, that I should, then shame on me.
Yeah. Shame.
Shame.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
I feel the shame.
Shame. Shame. And for the love of God, E, talking to the fucking mic, it's been so bad lately. Okay, grievance is over. Love the show, A-Dub. Eat shit, Eric. Haven't had a lot of eat shit Eric in a while.
Yeah.
Lastly, Brian writes in, I almost hot Carled myself. Gents and fuckboy, last week I was so tired and with road construction going on in my street, I have to park a block away from my house and walk. Well, when I parked, I could barely keep my eyes open. It didn't feel like the walk. I know you feel me, Mike.
I do.
So
I'm with him so far.
So I proceeded to roll the windows up and shut off the truck and was going to just sit there for a minute. 1 hour later, I wake up baking in the sun, soaking wet and dizzy as shit. What the fuck, man? I was baking from the inside. What a dumbass,
Brian. Dude, that's hilarious. Almost hot Carl himself.
Fuck.
Careful. Oh, that'd be an embarrassing way to die if you took a nap in your own car that got up to 150 degrees in there.
As an adult, that heat can, like, put you to sleep. If you're tired, man.
It can put you to sleep. Put you definitely to sleep.
Yep. Mike, we'll save the rest for tomorrow.
All right. Well, I've got a couple stories for extra content area, so if you care to hear those,
move on over.
Join us over there. Otherwise, we will see you tomorrow with an all-new episode of the Detroit Cast.
You've been listening to the Detroit Cast with your hosts, Mike and Jay. From all of us at Radio for One Studios, thank you for listening. And as always, thank you, Detroit.
Ah!